Yeah,
yeah.
That's what
okay. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, well, I don't know who else, wrote Maxie expressing concerns. We've been hearing from a number of other people. Why aren't there any time? Why aren't there any members? Candidates list posted? People need to have. There needs to be a time between an initial posting of the candidate list so people can check it. Frankly, they can help the LESs. You know, if there's errors or people in the wrong category or somebody's omitted or things like that, they can provide information like credit card, receipts or checks or whatever. And I believe Maxie forwarded the questions to Ford, I believe, and then he replied back and said that what the PNB really needed to do is approve a timeline, that it's up to the PNB to do that. But I didn't ask
okay.
Ford directly.
All right, thank you. Okay. So what I'm hearing is that you had a question. This conversation with Ford was kind of a side thing going on. And then separately, ALMA, the National Election Supervisor, emailed and said there was a problem with these getting this stuff done, or maybe that's what initiated Maxie's conversation with Ford. And then she suggested a timeline. And then separately, Carol suggested a timeline. It's different from what Alma suggested. Is that correct?
May I speak? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Were you recognized?
We can hear you, Carol. I asked Carol a question.
My understanding is that the general counsel took the position that it is the directors who set the timeline. And it is my understanding from a legal point of view, although I'm not giving a legal opinion here, even though I am a lawyer, but that the issue is the election, the importance of the election. The case law on this stuff says you've got to have an election. And that's why he said the timeline is not the issue. It's the PNB has to set the timeline and then the election has to proceed. So that's the answer to that.
Okay,
I would like to,
Madam
I mean,
Chair,
I,
Deanna?
Okay, we're not ready yet to motivate. We have some other people with questions.
Since I'm a director, and it's supposed to be the directors who do the timeline, and I put this I made the motion, it was seconded, and I still haven't had an opportunity to motivate it.
Right, I that's because we have questions about how this motion
point
came about.
Request for information.
Catherine. Madam Chair, Adriana.
Right. Everybody is talking at once, okay.
Catherine has a point of order, please.
What's your point of order, Catherine?
I would like to know by what rule a motion that has been offered and seconded is not allowed to be discussed and why all of these questions would not come under the discussion. I feel very much deprived by not knowing what it is that these questions are pertaining to. And from my perspective, it's denying me the right to know what that is. So I would like to know by what rule we can spend all this time questioning something that we have not yet heard.
The question,
William, to the floor.
We can.
That was not a point of order.
We can. It's a point of order. She thinks we should be not having questions, not having requests for information. Right, Catherine? That's the rule that you think is being broken.
The rule that I'm asking about is that a motion was brought to the floor and it was seconded. And I feel that as a member of this body, I have a right to hear that motion motivated. And my understanding is that after the motivation, the discussion ensues. So since that hasn't happened, I have heard objections being made multiple times, but not yet heard the motion. I would like to hear this motion I would like to hear the other presentation. I would like to get on with the business. So my question is, why that? What rules prevent that from happening?
Okay, so I'm still taking requests for information. There's been people asking for requests for information, and if it's not a request for information, and I'm speaking, when it's not a request for information, I'm moving on to the next person. I'm trying to move on to the next person. But if it's a question about how this item came onto the agenda, the motion itself is quite long. I'm going to ask her to read it and then motivate it. But because it was just sprung upon us, lots of people have questions about it. And I think that you can ask questions at any time, and they're not part of the debate. And so I'm allowing these questions.
What, Madam Chair?
We can't just like you're confused about it, so are other people. I am as well. I don't know what I'm voting on or why I'm voting on it. And I don't know, I didn't know what the circumstances were until, right before I got this email right before the meeting, as all of you did.
Jackie,
Dwayne, request for information, Madam Chair.
1 second. Catherine still has the floor.
Yes, I'm sorry. My confusion was not with the motion, but with the repetitive nature and drill down into deciding whether or not it should be on the floor. But it is on the floor. It has been seconded. And the fact that that's being ignored is where my confusion lies.
No, I don't think anything has been questioning whether or not it should be on the floor. They've just been asking why it is. Okay, how did it come to be? Okay, why, what's the rationale? Okay, Dwayne, you haven't spoken yet? What's your question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question.
And please, Dwayne, no rhetorical questions.
It might be rhetorical, but it's again.
No, it can't be rhetorical. If it's rhetorical, I'm not going to allow it. It has to be a real question.
Well, if it's already out, you've already allowed it. But my question is whether I want clarity on who, under what authority, contacted the attorney, because it was alleged Maxie Jackson did so. It's alleged two others did so.
No.
I'd like to know who did it. And
this question has been asked before, and the answer is that Maxie contacted Ford because he needed clarity because he was getting questions.
Maxie to the
from the directors.
I don't think that's clear.
Okay.
Carol,
Maxie to the stack.
Maxie, go ahead.
I'm looking at an email right now, and so I'm going to just give you not so much a timeline. On November 18th, which is Sunday, there is an email from Grace Aaron to myself and Ford. Ford does not respond to Grace in anything that I have. He does respond to me. He didn't even respond to me on this question. I responded to Grace, and she and I went back and forth cordially. And the issue, to my knowledge, went no further. So Grace's question, and if she wants to speak to it, she can, was based on things she had heard, not something that she had, my understanding, concretely known or had evidence of, but it was a question around something she had heard around the election process. So I just wanted to make it clear how that happened, how that took place.
Okay.
Madam Chair,
hold up, please. All right, so we've got this motion on the floor, and we have it because Alma had brought some problems to our attention. Maxie queried Ford, some directors queried Ford, and then unfortunately it was sprung upon all of us to have this motion tonight. I think it's a really important vote, and it requires 2/3. And so the fact that nobody knew about this until, you know, a couple of hours before the meeting, I think is really unfair and it should be postponed until the next meeting, this motion.
Point of information.
Yes, what's your point of information? What's your request for information?
Yes. Oh, I was trying to give information.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Again?
Excuse me.
Carol has the floor.
Barely spoken.
You've had some questions. I know you've had some questions. I think we've gotten a lot clarified. Adriana, I'm not giving you the floor anymore right now. When you want to give information, is it to one of the questions that have been asked?
Yes.
Okay, which question?
The question of the origin of this.
Okay, go ahead.
The timelines were up for review as a result of people because there was a timeline that said the ballots were supposed to go out on November 15th. And they did not go out, and candidates were calling a lot of us. And I think because of the exchange between Crozier and Maxie, there was some discussion about timelines and what the timelines would be. And so it became a feeling. I developed a feeling that what was happening was that the elections were going to fail because of the failure of the timelines, and that they were going to be canceled. And so I began, because as a director who I think has a role on timelines, checking with the LES, who has A and K, and Alex Steinberg checked with the LES that has BAI, and tonight we asked John Tatum about the condition of the lists, and as a result of doing some
Madam Chair,
I have come up with a timeline that we think is realistic based on knowledge of people who are dealing with this.
Okay, what's your point of order, Adriana?
Madam Chair.
What rule has been broken?
If you let me speak, maybe I can explain it.
What rule has been broken?
Miss Director Carroll is just speaking to a partial conversation that we have before this meeting starts, and it's not what she's saying. It's only what you want
what
to
rule, hear. What rule is being broken?
She's saying that we receive all this information, and it's not true. The only thing that we have here is she, half an hour or 40 minutes after the National Election Supervisor asked us to vote in the new time frame, because she said in her email that it's our obligation for Article 4, Delegation.
What rule? What rule is being broken?
She's bringing something that is not true. You cannot bring like certain this conversation that we are out of this meeting. I can bring all of that too, Madam Chair.
I don't understand the rule that's being broken, Adriana.
That you cannot say in a meeting, speak for other people and paraphrase what they are saying when wasn't part of a meeting. She cannot use that. And she used an answer to the National Election Supervisor that asked the PMB to approve the timeline that she's sending.
Point of
she's using that.
I don't think that's a point of order. Okay, go ahead, Carol.
Catherine?
To just responding to how this happened. Whether
right.
I don't,
well,
I can't
right. And
what would like to people for people not to be disparaging others in their conversation and calling people liars. Let people speak for themselves. And that was just my point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Catherine. All right, so I would like for people not to impugn the integrity of other people, please, and without, like, if you have hard, complete evidence. Who is that, Mr. Tatum?
The parliamentarian would like to speak, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, John.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you probably know, I'm the local election supervisor for WPFW, and
yes.
All of the local election supervisors got an email yesterday morning from the national election supervisor. It was on the 19th, which was yesterday. The time, I don't know if it was central or eastern time, but the time is 10:49 a.m. And here is her message. I would like to read it. It may bring some clarity.
Okay. Go ahead.
Good morning to all of you. She's talking about all of the stations, local election supervisors at those stations. We are waiting on Pacifica Legal Counsel Ford Green for his recommendation regarding the appropriate timeline to follow. Until then, all timeline dates are not active. We expect to have Mr. Green's recommendation soon. You will be informed as soon as possible. Thank you for your patience. And this is from Alma Biscara.
Okay.
Carol,
Alma was waiting for Ford Green's recommendation.
Correct.
Did she get it?
She has not gotten it yet, and she said that we will be informed as soon as possible, and thank you for your patience.
Okay.
May I? Everything that was just said is accurate, but I do need to make one correction.
Yes.
Not in what he said, but what is known.
Okay.
What was made clear to both Alma and myself is that the PMB needs to take over this process and determine the timeline. That's exactly how Ford articulated it to the two of us. So now the question I pose to Alma is, what is a realistic timeline based on your assessment of the list? And so that's why she submitted what she has. When Grace, I believe, and Bill became aware of the fact that Ford Green had given this edict, if you will, they then created, at least Bill did, created his own timeline based on, you know, his conclusions. And I forgot who else created a timeline. But the bottom line is, all of these timelines are the result of Ford telling us the PNB needs to move forward and disregard the bylaws and proceed with establishing a timeline. That's why the members of the board have done that, and that's why I asked Alma to provide us with what she deemed in her role as NES to be a realistic timeline for the list to be at a state that she felt was qualified to conduct the election.
Okay. I'm sorry to be so dense. So Ford said disregard the bylaws and come up with a new timeline that doesn't take the bylaws into consideration?
It's not that he said that it doesn't take. He's basically saying you're past that. He's saying you're past the bylaws issue. Just decide on a timeline and proceed if you're going to do the election. That's what he's basically stating.
Right. Okay. So my question is, aren't there certain parameters in the bylaws that we have to follow regardless of how we change, how the timeline is changed, like certain number of days are supposed to be given, notice dates are supposed to be given. We still have to follow those.
I know that's accounted for in Alma's timeline. I haven't had enough time to spend on the other two, but I would hope that they took those into consideration. I would imagine they would.
May I speak?
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. I have a conversation from Mr. Green. May I say it?
Yes. Where did it come from?
It's in writing from him and say statements about what the will of the majority of the PNB. It does not satisfy the requirement of PNB action when what the bylaws call for has not been adhered to in the first place. Okay?
What?
And this is that due to the above failures, the NES Drew resigned. And it's not viable to appoint a new NES. That's what is the PNB responsibility in her lap, and then start to criticize her. Adopt an appropriate resolution that includes set for all the appropriate and necessary deadlines. And that is what ALMA asked the NES asked us to do with a timeline.
Are you reading Ford? You're not reading Ford Green's email at the moment. I can't tell what's your words and what's Ford Green's.
I want to substitute the motion.
Wait, we're not even at the motion yet. No, Adriana, we are not at the motion yet. We're still in the middle of questions.
Okay, thank you.
Carol for the staff.
Thank you for assisting the motion, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, Dwayne Lark has requested the floor several times.
For what?
Well, I want clarification first, and I would not want. I want the same amount of time and back and forth as you've given the two previous ladies. That's number one. Number two, what I want.
All right, I'm going
to
cut you off if you don't get your question to me right now.
What? No. Excuse me?
What's your question?
If you didn't interrupt me, you would have gotten it in last.
What is your question? What's your question, Dwayne?
Are we going to adhere to the bylaws? And thank God this is an open session because we haven't been. But are we going to adhere to the bylaws tonight?
That question has been asked. Thank you, Dwayne. Okay, Carol, go ahead.
No matter what we do, we are not adhering to the bylaws. And the bylaws that you're referring to, Nancy, about two-thirds has to do with next year's election, not this year's election. If we don't have an election, we are violating the bylaws that require a 2018 election. If we do have an election, the terms and the timeline and so on violates the bylaws. And the law says that directors cannot extend their terms illegally. Who is interrupting me? Who's interrupting me?
Me.
Can I finish?
I would like for people to stop making the point that directors' terms cannot be extended. The directors' terms are never extended past 1 year. They are always reelected in January, and there would be no difference this year. The only thing that would be extended would be delegates, not directors.
Excuse me. I have 90 seconds. May I finish?
Jan Goodman for the stack. Clarify what the California Corporations Code.
I know what it says. It says director.
I know. I finish, please.
It also says that people in the government are directors, no matter what they are called, and that means our delegates also.
All right. The order. Okay. So now
the floor on this time that she wants it.
Okay. All right. Now. All right. So now, how do we get that? I'm sorry, we're way off course. So now we have lots of questions answered. We're gonna go back to the motion. Carol, please read the motion that you put forward.
And then I'm going to vote
it needs to be read into the public record.
Right, and then I get to motivate it for 90 seconds.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Move the following election timelines. Extend the record date to run from October 1st, 2018 through October 20th, 2018. New record date. November 6th, preliminary candidate name statements and questionnaires shall be posted publicly on elections.pacifica.org along with requests for any corrections. This posting should also be announced on air on all stations multiple times a day starting November 26th and ending December 3rd. November 30th, all candidates should be notified and by phone by their LES that the candidacies are either validated or invalidated. If invalidated, the specific reason or reasons should be given for their disqualification. December 5th and December 10th, any disqualified candidate have 5 days until midnight, December 5th, to make their substantive appeal to their disqualification by making their case to the NES, copying the appropriate LES and Ford Green for a 2018 election file. The NES will make a ruling by December 10th, 2018, and inform the candidate with the appropriate LES with a copy of their final ruling to Ford Green for a 2018 election file. December 11th, the ballots will be sent to the printer mailhouse by midnight, December 11th, 2018. The mail will get out as soon as possible after every listener whose email we do not have. December 11th, 2018, links to how to get online for candidates' information and how to vote online, if possible, for members for whom we don't have email addresses will be prominently posted on all station websites. Beginning on December 11th, 2018, and going through January, the election period, appropriate carts of a minimum of 30 seconds shall be put on every station 8 times a day at minimum. At the beginning of the time frame, this frame shall alert listener members to watch for their ballots. In the middle, to remind them for people to listen to the candidate carts and check the election website for information on who is running and how to vote. Beginning January 7th, remind people that the election is on, how to get replacement ballots, and when the date of the close of the election. Beginning December 11th, a 30-second minimum candidate statement shall be played for each candidate 4 times between December 11th and January 20th. January 24th, 2019, voting shall end January 24th. It says 10-19, that's a typo, 2019, for stations that reach quorum. February 5th, if quorum is reached where ballots shall be counted and the election certified by February 5th, 2019. February 21st, 2019, if any station fails to reach quorum, the election shall remain open until February 21st. March 10th, 10-19, if the extended voting is required to reach quorum, ballots will be counted and the election certified by March 10th, 2019. And finally, if clerical hiring is required to help any of the stations meet this deadline, the NES may request funds to hire such people. Okay. First of all, PNB, the director's election is directly impacted by delegates, and also there's case law about considering delegates directors. And further, the body
who elects the directors is impacted by who's on the LSB. And so if the LSB is not current, and because of attrition, has people who essentially lost the last election filling the boards, then it is not expressing the will of the membership. The closer we can have this to happen before Christmas, the further away from Christmas, the better. And these timelines were not developed by me making them up. I spoke after we've gotten all the calls we have from all of our candidates of what's happening, and asked details.
1 minute.
To the LS, who has two, could you please mute, who has two stations, who said that the lists of the listeners are pretty close to done, and that the staff list needs some work, but they can be done within these time frame days. Alex Steinberg, I checked with him.
10 seconds.
Who checked with the WBAI LES, who said similarly. And also, I quizzed our LES about whether or not there's been meetings and communication.
Okay.
And she said she has not gotten communication from the NES lately, that she can't get her questions answered, that she's, and there's never been a meeting of all the LAS and NES. And I think that there is a bias.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Carol. You'll get to close.
Adriana,
one second.
I got to speak to the motion, Madam Chair, and I ask for the floor.
Adriana, you were first, and Grace, you're against. Grace, you're for.
Madam Chair, I have a substitute motion. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Okay. I believe that, first of all, nobody can make, cannot make something or tell
the next. Could you wait for motion? Could you please make your motion first?
Yes.
And then vote it in after you send it in.
The substitute motion is that we approve the timeline proposed by the National Election Supervisor, and I want Maxi, the ED, talk about this, when she's asking us for vote for this timeline that she's proposing, that she sent to us, and said, and she explained why other timeline cannot be carried out. And I want, obviously, the whole board have it, but I can read it, Madam Chair, as Carol read hers. I think that I can read the substitute motion from the National Election Supervisor.
Oh, you want to read the substitute timeline from the National Election Supervisor? Okay, go ahead.
Yes?
Go ahead.
Okay. December 21st, 2018. By establishing a new record date, eligibility to vote has to change. In this case, from December 22nd, 2017 to December 21st, 2018. Current membership list only include members eligible from October 2nd, 2017 to October 1st, 2018. October equal previous record date, October 1st. New and final membership list will need to be received by LESs covering the period before December 21st, 2017, December 20, 2018. Nomination petitions need to be received again. New membership list. Both staff, paid and non-paid, and listener staff will change as a result of new record date, December 28, 2018. Nomination periods open. Member wishing to run, who now are eligible to run because of this new record date, need to be allowed to send their nomination. Previous nomination received do not need to be resubmitted. January 28, 2019. New nomination period ends, 30 days period per Pacifica bylaws. February 2nd, 2019, preliminary list of nominees published online at electionpacifica.org. Candidates to receive confirmation of approval, non-eligible candidates to receive notification and reason for not being approved, appeals within 72 hours. February 12th, PSA to start airing about upcoming delegate elections, frequent rotational PSAs. February 12, 2019, final list of nominees published online at electionpacifica.org with a statement announced and answer to questionnaire. February 16, 2019, printed ballot to the mail, mailed by ballot distribution company to members who do not have an email address within 60 days of new record date. Because that is the additional information that you need to know. February 16, PSA in all five stations, letting members know paper ballots have been mailed to members without any email addresses, electronic ballots to be sent to members with email addresses. February 20, 2019, electronic ballots sent within 60 days of new record day. April 2, 2019, election closed. Unless quorum is not reached, period will be extended for an additional week after 45 days of mailing. April 3rd to April 14, ballot counting period, unless election closing date is extended, the counting period will be adjusted. April 15, 2019, election certification notice, unless election closing date is extended. And I can give you the reasons. Well, whenever you want me to
go ahead and motivate.
To motivate, okay. I will use the motivation that the National Election Supervisor sent us. And she explained there very clearly that what needs to be changed, they said any new record date affects the entire process. The previous announcement required the ballot be sent within 60 days, which equals no later than November 30, 2018. Any new record date affects the entire process. Two, a new record date affects the membership, who is now eligible, who was not before, and who is not eligible now. Three, all membership lists will need to be run, review, and clear it out. The new date comprising the new record date. The current list goes from October 1st to October, October 2nd to 17th to October 1st. New additions should be true, would be true, especially as many stations have fan drives. Four, a new record date, since it changed the membership list, could potentially change the eligibility of petition list signatures submitted by nominees as October 27th.
Fifth, 20 seconds.
Madam Chair,
but she's
please.
Still reading the motion.
She's
right.
Motivating.
No, you're
it,
motivating
right?
it. You're motivating.
Yeah.
Okay.
20
Sorry,
seconds.
You're motivating.
Madam Chair, please. Can you ask Mansoor just to thank you?
Mansoor,
no,
he's the timekeeper.
I asked him to give the 30 second warning and then 10 second warning. Okay.
I didn't want to interrupt her, so I waited for the break.
Okay.
So
start again in 20 seconds, please.
Sure.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Adriana.
You have 20
seconds.
Will change. Tell me when I can start without anybody else speaking.
Start now. You have 20 seconds, okay? Mansoor, start now.
Since membership eligibility will change, some members will not become eligible to run, will not be able to run with the past date of record date. See, current nomination will also be checked by eligibility under the new record date. The intent of submitting this new timeline is to protect the interests of Pacifica by limiting the possibility of legal challenges. Thank you for your consideration. Alma Vizcarra, National Election Supervisor 2018.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you very much. Oh, okay, thank you. I got it. So your motivation was reading Alma's motivation. Okay, that's what it sounds like.
Alex
Williams, second.
Okay, 1 second. Alex, and then William, and then Dwayne. Okay, Maxie, go ahead.
Quietly, Catherine.
Wait, 1 second.
Point of information.
Point of information, Catherine.
1 second,
Emily. Let me know when I can speak.
Go ahead, Maxie.
That's what you look.
I just wanted to illuminate
the role of the NES as opposed to the LES.
Wait, 1 second, please. If you're not speaking, would you please mute your phone?
Not denying
Thank you.
The reason why, number one, the NES has not had a collective meeting with the LES of late is because we were waiting on Ford Green's ruling. That's number one. I want to just clarify that. But more importantly, canvassing the LES to the quality of their list is, in my opinion, not germane to the role that they have versus the NES. The NES's role is to take the information gathered by the LES and to verify whether it is legitimate, whether it passes the mustard, if you will. And what ALMA has said in repeated emails to me is that the information she has gathered from certain LES or all LES at different times still contains content that is problematic in terms of being an adequate list for the purpose of our elections. So I just wanted to make it clear that while I understand that, you know, there's been some canvassing of the LES, I would argue it would be more appropriate to talk directly to the NES to find out whether our lists are good, because that's her role. Her role is to provide a check and balance, if you will, with respect to the information gathered by the LES. And I believe Graham did that prior to, and I want to believe, and I'm certain, actually, that ALMA is doing the same. So I just wanted to put that out there, that it's important for us to recognize the difference in the role between the LES and the NES. And so it's like going to the wide receiver to ask about a play when it's the offensive coordinator who actually designed the call.
And who's the wide receiver in this case?
The LES.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, thank you, Maxie.
Catherine, right, so Alex, point of inquiry?
Yes, Catherine. What's your question?
You said that this vote requires a two-thirds, so that would be true of also this motion as well as the original motion?
No, this motion would be majority. This substitute would be majority, but the original, whatever ends up as the main motion, will require two-thirds.
Either way. Yes. Okay.
I beg to disagree with you, Madam Chair. That is not correct.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Order.
I was just going to state also, we don't all watch football, so I'm not sure I understood those analysis, but thank you.
I can provide clarity if you desire.
I think that who wants to provide clarity?
That's me, Maxie. It's actually unnecessary. I had made the point prior to. I was just doing it in a more colorful reference point, but at the end of the day, the proper person to ask if the lists are adequate is not the LES, it's the NES, because it's the NES who takes the LES information and verifies it. That's their role, is to verify what has been accumulated by the LES. And to go around and canvass the LES to find out if the lists are good enough is, I would argue, not sufficient.
Right.
Because it is the NES's role to verify whether they are or not. And so I just want to make that point.
So by going around and asking the different LESs, it's usurping the role of the NES.
Well, I don't know if I say it's usurping. I just don't think you're getting the full picture, and you're clearly not getting an accurate read as to what the NES, whose designated role is to verify the legitimacy of the election. I don't think you're asking the right person when you ask LES, even though they clearly serve a valuable role, and we certainly appreciate the work that they're doing on the ground at the local station to gather and get these lists up to speed, to ask an LES to verify whether their list is adequate enough and meets the standards of the NES. It doesn't make sense to me when the NES has to make that call.
Okay.
All right, so we have the substitute motion, and we have Alex William, Catherine, did you want to be on the stack, or was that just, was your question answered?
Well, I'm not sure if my question was answered. I was asking about the two-thirds vote.
Oh, right, the two-thirds vote. Okay. So, Mr. Tatum, correct me if I'm wrong, please, but we are voting on a substitute motion to replace the main motion, and I believe that that takes a majority vote. But then when that substitute motion is voted on, if it makes it to the main motion, then it requires a two-thirds vote.
Madam Chair, two-thirds votes are required when you are changing something that's already in place. You are revising a timeline that's already in place, and what I'm not clear on, if you're revising the timeline that's in your bylaws, or are you revising the NES's timeline? If you are revising the timelines in your bylaws, yes, it would take a two-thirds vote. But if you're revising the timeline put forth by the NES, it would take a majority vote.
Okay. Well, there was never any timeline put forward to vote on. And this is the first timeline that's been put forward to vote on to change the bylaws timeline. The NESs were just proceeding late with respect to the timeline that was already in the bylaws. That was how they explained it, was that they were proceeding as best they could to follow that timeline, and they were late in doing so. They were trying to meet the December 31st deadline. And that's like a hard timeline in the bylaws. These are timelines that change that bylaw time, that point in the bylaw. So they actually change the timeline of the election that's in the bylaw.
It's the former.
Okay.
Carol.
But the question, Mr. Tatum, is Carol had a motion to vote on a new timeline. And then Adriana had a substitute to her motion. So the question is it the majority to vote on the substitute to replace the original motion, and then two-thirds if that substitute becomes the original motion? Two-thirds for both of them?
No, I would say the former. Majority vote first and then two-thirds second, and that's my opinion.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. So.
This is Grace with question.
Yes, what's your question, Grace?
Is it a ruling of the chair that the main motion needs a two-thirds vote?
Yes, it's changing.
Okay, I would like to challenge the ruling of the chair.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Second.
Well, that's the bylaws. That's what the bylaw says.
It does
no.
That, that's an inch. No, we would
nope.
Challenge that. Not
Madam Chair, point of order. Point of order, Madam Chair.
Point of order. Point of order.
All right, could someone please mute their phones? It doesn't have the floor. All right, so I have... I have asked the parliamentarian for an opinion. And I explained that we're voting to change the timeline in the bylaws. If the timeline gets changed, and it's never been changed, the NESs have been just trying to follow what's there as best that they could. They never. You know, they suggested a timeline, and we never voted on it. Okay, so they can't change the timeline. All they can
the PNB has to change the timeline. And so my ruling is, it says in the bylaw that we have to have two-thirds to change the timeline in the bylaw. And so Grace is challenging my just stating that the bylaws say we have to have two-thirds vote to approve the new timeline.
Correct.
And Carol seconded.
Request information, Madam Chair.
Should request for information, Adriana.
Yes, Madam Chair. I don't believe that it's up to the chair or any director to decide on the bylaws. My point of information is, you asked, is what I heard, but I need you saying that that was right or not. Did you ask the parliamentarian, because we have Article 4, Delegate Section 5, Election Tax Frame, that talks specifically about the if the timeline need to be changed. Two-thirds vote of the total number of directors conducted by me, well, doesn't matter. But it's the total number of people. Do you think that, what my question is, couldn't be that because the chair decides something or somebody decides to challenge, they can change the bylaws? The bylaws are not changeable. The bylaws are very clear. This is the timeline frame. The election time frame change requires a two-thirds vote. It's not up to the chair to approve it, and it's not but to anybody to challenge the chair or approve the chair. That's why when you ask, I believe that when you ask Mr. Tatum told you what is in the bylaws. And we can ask whoever you want, but the bylaws cannot be changed with simple majority. The bylaws can only be changed with a bylaw amendment.
Point of order.
Catherine, please.
We're in the middle of one point of order. I'd like to finish this one first, please. Okay, so.
That was my question. I was just trying to get.
What's your question? Mansour, I hope you stop the clock.
Yes, I asked you originally.
The whole universe has come to a stop for Pacifica.
Mute their phones if they're not talking.
My original question was if whether we determine that it's two-thirds or not. My question is, given this argument, why would one have a different standard than the other? So I think the argument breaks down by having a double standard. So that was my concern.
Okay, Catherine, I believe it has to do with the main motion. Okay, and substitute motions to replace a main motion don't always require the same majority as the main motion themselves.
But in this case, wouldn't it? If we're speaking about something in the bylaws, then wouldn't it?
When converting main motion,
wouldn't
yes.
Wouldn't it be different than a regular
yes.
motion?
You know, yes. it doesn't, I mean, the you know, from what I can see, you're going to win either way, you know.
Madam Chair, may I explain the difference? Because it's very clear.
I don't know why we're arguing about it.
I'm sorry.
Can you bring the member to order, please?
Madam Chair,
could everyone please mute your phone if you do not have the floor? Mr. Tatum, could you please explain about how a substitute motion?
Point of personal.
Madam.
One second. Could he answer your question first, Catherine?
I don't think it's fair to make the assumption that I'm asking a question because I'm wanting to win.
Hold it.
I'm not saying I didn't mean that. I'm saying I that's not was not my That was not my that was not my intent. My intent was just to point out that it's kind of a moot point because the majority has the vote regardless on this substitute motion. I'm looking at who's here, and this substitute's going to lose.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. You're either if it's two-thirds or a majority, it's going to lose.
Right.
Right. Actually, right now, it would win if it requires two-thirds. It only requires a majority. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was just going to say all discussions should be over right now, and the members should vote on sustaining or not sustaining the ruling of the chair, because all of this other points of information, point of order, is just extending time. It's not doing anything. We need to take the vote on sustaining the chair's decision, the chair's ruling right now. We need to do that right now.
Okay. So my ruling is that we're at the point where we are following the bylaws that require a two-thirds vote for this timeline change. The same as it's required a two-thirds vote all the other times we've tried to bring it up. It's always required a two-thirds vote. And to not require a two-thirds vote is going against the bylaws.
Madam Chair, can you cite the section in the bylaws that authorizes the Pacifica National Board to change the timeline with a two-thirds vote? There is no such section.
Yeah, there is. It's a section on the timeline.
That deals with the election for the following year. It does have nothing to do with the current election year. The timeline has been passed. There's nothing you can do to be in compliance with the bylaws at this point.
No, I asked the Attorney General about this. She said it doesn't matter that the November date has passed. If you have to change a timeline, you got to follow your bylaws.
There's nothing in the bylaws that specifies whether a two-thirds vote is needed to specify the bylaws in the current election year.
That's exactly why the chair made a ruling.
Okay, well, that's why we're discussing it.
And that's
all right, I will find it for you. I will find it for you.
Madam Chair, this is Joseph.
For you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, this is Joseph.
Question, point of order, where we can't do a point of order in the middle of point of order.
All I want to tell you is it's Article 4, Section 5, third paragraph, first line is what you're looking for.
Thank you, Tim.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I request a reading in the record if Joseph has it.
All right. Let me see here. It's Article 4, Section 3. Yep. Joseph, what was it again?
Article 4, Section 5, third paragraph. If in the year preceding delegate elections, the Pacifica National Board determines by a two-thirds vote of the total number of directors conducted by email or paper ballot, that the schedule above cannot be executed due to exigent circumstances, they may by November 30th adopt a schedule subject to constraints herein. Continued.
In the previous year.
If in the year preceding, remember that statement. We're past that. That's referring to 2017. This is 2018.
No, sir.
Madam Chair, people can jump in the floor the whole time?
Obviously so. Madam Chair, I have a point.
I would like the members to stand at ease for a minute. I'm reading this.
Could you please read it loud again? It was not clear.
Wait.